There's no doubt that in 2 days from now, we'll have as great enthusiasm as we climb all the ropes and all that kind of stuff. We'll see you there as well. And we're very proud to have Rabbi Lapiansky here. Before I officially introduce him, I could just ask that the clicking of the pens, me personally, I was also doing it. It's a little bit of a nervous thing, but if we could just either write or put the pens down, and we'll click the brain more than the pens is better. So, Mitzvah Shem. So, without further ado, Rav Aaron Lapiansky is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Greater Washington. He has a very nice pedigree. He was a father-in-law, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of the Mir. He's got a, we can go through his whole history, but one of the things that's most relevant is that he wrote a sefer called Ben Torah in the Workplace. And if you haven't read it, it's kedai. We probably have a few copies in the office. Nelson will get a few copies. If you want to put it in our library, we'll loan it out. But certainly not your claim to fame, but certainly a wonderful accomplishment. So without further ado, Rav Lapiansky.
Yasher koyach, Mr. Rosenberg. It's extremely overwhelming to see a tzibur of people, yireim ashleimim, and interested, even, I guess, if it's mandatory, but still interested, in talking a little bit about Inyan HaDiyayim, discussing in Yeshavuos. I'll try to speak a little bit, I guess, the Inyan I want to try a little bit to sort of be malabin, to sort of work out, is somewhere the tension or the distinction between the world of Torah and mitzvahs. We speak about it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and mitzvahs. I mean, it's the same. The Talmud Torah that is stressed in the yeshivas that we all learned in, is it just another mitzvah, a very important mitzvah, a big mitzvah? Or is there something about the world of Torah and mitzvahs that is distinct, complement each other, and we're going to try to understand the role of each one? You have a lot of conflicting chazal. Godla Talmud Shemevi De Maisa, La Medeshika La Maisa. So which one is it? Obviously, we're looking at two different angles, and understanding it when we're coming to this Yontif of Shavuos, I think would give us a whole different appreciation of what Talmud Torah does for us. It's, I think, especially significant. Somebody who's sitting in yeshiva and learning full-time, so that's what he's doing. And there's no question asked, it's sort of self-sustaining. It's learning, and you're into it, and you feel the ruchnius. But when you struggle to take some time off and concentrate, and when you're tired or whatever, and you're trying to ask yourself exactly the significance of it, when you could patter yourself with Krishna, you're not supposed to be mefarsimit, but Krishna morning and night would patter you technically. So what exactly are we doing when we're learning? What's the point of it, and what's Shavuos? So I want to start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in four prakim a year, a person is, the world is judged. And Pesach on the Tevuah, so on the Chag and Mayim, we understand. Everyone understands that. Water is the root of life. Everything goes on water. So, you know, we would cease to function. Easy. Tevuah on Pesach, also easy. It's the basis for food, is grain, and that's what the world sits on. On Shavuos, it's Peiros HaIlon. In the order of Rosh Hashanah is called the Mar and Oivin Lefanov. So we take it to mean life, water, and the most basic of foods. Those are the three pillars of what you need: breathing, drinking, and grain. Peiros HaIlon, I mean, what exactly is it? If yes, we could list fish and we could list meat and we could list everything else. So what's Peiros HaIlon? And on Shavuos, you know, is there any connection between it, between the Peiros HaIlon with Shavuos? another Chazal that also sort of brings out the same issue about Paris. Chazal say that when Adam HaRishon was punished and was told Koitz v'dada tatzmiach and so on, b'zeh zapecha toch alochem, so he cried and he said, will I and my shor or chamor eat from the same avos? The Ribbono Shel Olam has condemned me to eating animal food. So the question is, what exactly did he eat before? Meat was aser. So he didn't eat meat. So he ate, what did he eat before, what did he eat after? So the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, different places say more or less the same thing. That Adam HaRishon ate fruit, and they distinguish between grass or plants that have seeds in them. So Adam HaRishon, Adam was meant to eat peres ha'ilon and grains, which are seeds, as opposed to animals who ate just grass. And once Adam HaRishon sinned, grass became part of his diet. That's more or less. There are so many things we lost out in chet, and the chet of Adam HaRishon. We die. Whatever would have been before, it's called Misa. Be'etzev tel libonim, birthing became a very, very difficult and traumatic process instead of easy. The Ra became built into the world, and the issue is if we have to have a side of broccoli with the fruit salad, that's the issue? It's incredible. I mean, Chazal are telling us something, but what is it that they're talking about? So let's go to Bryas Olam itself. It says, on the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tach Ha'aretz Desha, Ezev Mazriya Zera, Eitz Pri Oysa Pri Limina, Shazar Bal Aretz Vayichen. Vatoitz Ha'aretz Desha, Ezev Mazriya Zera, Ve'etz Oysa Pri. So the Bria of vegetation is divided into two categories, Ezev and Pri Oysa Pri, and Zera Bal Liminehu. You don't find that level of division in any other part of the Bria. Again, the entire Bria is very fundamental elements. The heavenly bodies, one day. The Yamim and Yabasha, animal life. But you could split animal life into birds and fish and every other thing and 101 different categories. And yet, the core distinction between Eitzei Sepri and Zera and Desha and Esev seems to be something on par with the difference between the sun and the moon. You know, we have sun, moon, and stars, and we have fruits and vegetation. So what is it that we're talking about? Obviously, we're talking about something very fundamental, something that is really, really a core distinction that's at the root of things. And we struggle to understand what it is. So let's try to understand a little bit what it means. Adam was put in this world to manage the world. And in the managing of the world, he's sustaining himself physically and spiritually. The klal is, the Torah speaks about physical things. It's true on the physical level. It is true on the spiritual level. Ad infinitum. It's true on the spiritual level as you keep climbing up the ladder. It's the same. It's the same idea. It's just much more abstract, much more conceptual. But if we'll be able to understand it at a physical level, we'll be able to understand the deeper meaning on a spiritual level as well. Person and every animal feeds itself hand to mouth, or maybe paw to mouth would be better for an animal. An animal is hungry, it finds food, and eats. The world is geared so that it can happen. Yes, some animals are engineered to store stuff, but by and large, it's hand to mouth. Adam was given that possibility also. And Adam was given a possibility to create entities in the world that once his sweat and labor has been actualized in an eighth, it now begins to bear fruit on its own. In other words, Maisa Adam can be something which is Asaf. An Asaf is something you plant, you eat, you replant and re-eat. And that's the way it is. It's a hand-to-mouth type of arrangement. Or there could be eights, and anything that has zera in itself, which is sort of self-perpetuating, that's a second way to manage the world. Zacha, a person eats from this world in a way that is ilan. It's eight stick. He puts his labor into it, and then he's created something which is sort of self-perpetuating, self-sustaining, and the person lives off what he had invested in first. Then, loy zacha, a person scrounges for food day in, day out, and eats from hand to mouth. That's the physical difference between the world of Esav and the world of Eitz and Peres. When Adam HaRishon was Choyte, on the physical level, he went down a notch, and his food became difficult. Kotz V'Darda means you can't automatically put something in and it comes. It will require constant labor. In effect, even the Eitz arrangement became the trees rot, the trees get worms, the trees get bugs. I don't know the details. We don't have the details of it. But the point is, the type of arrangement where you do something once and it's there, that is does not exist. That's true in the world of Gashmias. The world of Ruchnias has the same type of arrangement. There's a world of Ruchnias which is from hand to mouth. Zayim mitzvos b'nei Noach. Zayim mitzvos b'nei Noach, a person does them as per need. Now I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to respond to this situation, and so on. It includes the Olam HaMitzvahs for Klal Yisrael also. A mitzvah, by definition, is here and now. Famous Gemara Saita that says when a person is doing a mitzvah, a person is protected by it. As soon as he finishes the mitzvah, it's over. Talmud Torah is different. So the world of Ruchnius also has two levels. The world of mitzvahs is here now. And the world of Torah is an investment that gives payers for later. And we'll talk about it in a minute. Those are the two types of ways in which we need to act with the Bria. And that's why there are two Rosh Hashanahs. It's not the difference between an apple and a carrot. It's the difference between a tzura of Avodas Adam that is here and now, and the tzura of Avodas Adam, the ability for us to put things into place that will constantly keep giving. Let's talk a moment about what that means on a ruchnistic level in terms of Torah. When a person does a mitzvah, he does it b'shleimus, as it's supposed to be done. An ani comes here, I give him a dollar tzedakah, I have done a mitzvah of chesed, and I gave $1 and I have $1 of a mitzvah. That's what I have. When a person learns, the immediate result that's visible is by far less. If I learn a sugya about giving tzedakah, it doesn't seem to be the same as if I actually gave somebody the tzedakah. So I'd like to quote an Akedah. Akedah is a very, very important sefer. It was written in the 1400s. It's a classic in Torah. Unfortunately, people haven't looked at it for a few hundred years, except for Yechidei Sgula, because it's very long, it's arichus, the print was horrible, lousy. Baruch Hashem, Ozohar actually put it out a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, in a very nice way. But he's, many of the things he says are really fundamental in Yanim. It's an incredible sefer. It has its arichus and so on, but the things that he says are yesodos mevhakim. He speaks about tefillah and the importance of tefillah, that it brings certain emuna into play by a person. You have to believe in a God. You have to believe in a God who's omnipotent and a God who is benevolent. Those are the three ikrei emuna that basically are the ikrei emuna, and it's in tefillah. He speaks a little about tefillah, but then he explains what's the importance of ikrei emuna. It's theological debate is not the significance of it. What's important is, and he says like this, when a person is koveya, that there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, that's a root. It spurs him to begin to think about Ribbono Shel Olam, about the magnificent world, the Malach HaOtzem Kvodo. That thinking process gives a person tremendous humility. As I begin to think more and more about Ribbono Shel Olam being pervasive and the entire world and everything about it, it humbles a person greatly. And when a person is humbled, a lot of Hatsnei Aleches comes out. And he goes through with each and every one of the Ikrei Emuna, and he uses this exact analogy. He says it's a tree that you're planting. The Emuna is a root. The trunk is the ikr that comes out of that root. The branches are many, and the fruits are finally Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a certain avenue. But he uses that metaphor, that mashal, in a very, very, very specific way, and he goes through it with the different ikrei emuna, and how each one leads to that. If we ask ourselves, what are our actions determined by? A person does things. What determines what I'm going to do? So there are two factors. If there's a very strong immediate spur, so I'm going to do it. So Lamashal, if I'm very hungry and there's food here, I'm going to run and take it. That's determined by a very strong immediate type of stimulus. But my general pattern of behavior comes from everything that's inside me. A person who believes that being famous and important is the be-it-all, so every little movement he does is to attract attention. He may not even be conscious of it, but he's being driven by that because that's his core belief. If down, down deep, a person who believes in caring for other people, if that's how he's brought up and that's what he's developed in himself, he'll naturally, instinctively do something nice for another person, be considerate and so on. In other words, the things that determine our behavior in a bigger picture, not when there's an immediate stimulus, but our patterns of behavior, who we are, what we are, is determined by the deepest set shrashim in a person's neshama or nefesh. So what Talmud Torah does, so mitzvahs and Talmud Torah really are sort of a two different worlds of ruchnius. Mitzvahs are immediate. It's very interesting. If you take a look at the mashal of the Esav and the Elonis, an Esav, grass, anything that grows that's not a tree, is mutter to eat immediately. And it's only chayev and maisa when it's ready to eat. In other words, it has to be taken in and so on. And that's the time when you take off the maisas and then you eat it. Once you eat it, it's gone and that's it. A tree is usa for 3 years. So when I'm sitting and planting a tree, I'm not going to have some for 3 years. Halacha is made it erla for 3 years. But once it's there, then it's mine to keep. Mitzvahs are ruchniyistic activities that feed the here and now of a person. And that's what a person is. So right now, this I get a chiyus from the mitzvahs I do. Its effect for tomorrow is al pi derech siyata deshmaya. It's not a natural thing. When a person learns, he builds into himself a certain understanding, a certain perspective. It does not have an immediate effect necessarily. And you know, everyone who's learned in yeshiva knows all the musash musen we hear from Ashkichim. You're learning Baba Kama, and you got some chewing gum on somebody's thing, and you don't care. It's an appropriate musash mus, but it's not a pircha. So if the person is learning it flippantly, he really doesn't care, he's doing it because he has to do it or whatever it is, then of course it doesn't have any effect. Then it's worse. Al-Masla Kanta is worse. It drives cynicism much deeper. But if a person is learning because this is the way it should be, so even if right now I'm not going to react, and maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the day after, but at some point it's going to surface. We find many times a person who's learned in yeshivas, was a ben Torah, and then went through difficult periods of time, and at some later point, it begins to change, and he becomes the person he should have been maybe all along. So we attribute it to some effect. Either somebody was tremendously good at inspiring him, either somebody was tremendously good at frightening him, old age did its thing. The truth is, most of the time, it's a root that begins to sprout. Maybe it needed encouragement. Maybe somebody needed to put a little water on it. But there was something inside the person that was waiting to come out. Talmud Torah is something that sinks into a person at a very deep level. In halacha, there's a famous halacha that is troubling to understand. What's the rationale behind it? A person has a choice of learning or doing a mitzvah. What should you choose? So the halacha is that if it's ifshar sosa de'acherim, you do the mitzvah. If not, you learn Talmud Torah. What kind of hachra is that? Manavshach. If Torah is more important, lamashal. Esse is doch los hase. Esse is, as long as in the parameters of esse being doch los hase, it's always true. So anytime I have an esse los hase, even 10 times a day, I have to do esse and be doch los hase. Because that's the halacha. So if Talmud Torah is doch a mitzvah, what's the difference if efshar says dechem or efshar says dechem? So the answer is like this. And I guess I don't know if this answer has a halachic rigidity to it, a lamdish rigidity, but I think mitzad the teichin, it's certainly emes. If a person comes to me and he says, I have a $100 bill, should I buy myself something with it or should I invest it? So the person says, well, I'll ask the person, well, what do you want to buy with $100? He says, well, I want to buy food. I haven't eaten in 3 days. So, of course, go buy food and eat. I don't have a coat. It's cold outside or whatever. But if a person says, I don't know, I'll buy something that I like, you say, well, if you invest it, you'll be able to have more at some later stage, and it'll build up to a lot more. So my hachra in that shaila is, if there's an immediate need that takes precedence, of course, because you're not going to get past the immediate need. But if it's a question of a wiser use of the money, an investment is obviously a wiser use of the money. A mitzvah that's Eifshah says that here means the world needs the mitzvah now. The way you need the square meal now, the world needs the mitzvah. Then that has to be done. You're not going to invest the money and starve or freeze. If it's efshar says dechem, means the immediate need is taken care of. But it's something that it's a question in the world of mitzvahs. What exactly is better? Invest it. Talmud Torah is an investment in yourself, and you may not have the payers now, but it's something that's really going to be Meilat Payers. And the Meilat Payers has no gvul and no sof to it. The, you know, one of the inyanim, the goyim are mechuyev in some mitzvahs and have an ability to do other mitzvahs. There's a little bit that it hasn't been dealt in the poskim a lot, obviously, because not much of a demand for shalos tshuvos for inyanim goyim. But people have tried to show that there's possibly 70, 80 mitzvahs, they're branches of the other mitzvahs, be it as it may. The two that are not shayach to goyim lehedya, Shabbos and Talmud Torah, those two are spoken about as something that is wrong for them to engage in. And the reason is because both are shayach to a different world, Olam Haba. The difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba at its core is Olam Hazeh is a world of now. It's that paradigm of needs now. Olam Haba is a perspective of looking at things with a future, as an investment. There's a famous verse from the Kotzka. Someone asked him, the Gemara Paskins, the question, Mominus, the Gemara Paskins, that it's better a bird in hand than two in the bush. Come out, that's the lesson the Gemara uses. In other words, a person would rather take money now than some payout later. So they asked him, but it says in the Mishnah that it's better, Shor Achas of Koras Ruch Olam Haba is better than the entire Olam Hazeh. So the Kotzka said, this is an Olam Hazedika perspective, this is an Olam Habadika perspective. In other words, the Gemaras are dealing with two different perspectives. If you're stuck in Olam Hazeh, grab and take what you have is the appropriate Olam Hazedika perspective. Do something for tomorrow, that's Olam Haba. The difference, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelik B'Olam Haba, is not just that we have a reservation waiting for us in up in Shemayim. It means the nefesh of a Yid is shayach to something beyond the here and now. We can appreciate it, we can understand it, and it fits our neshama. So mitzvahs is something that we have mishutif with the goyim. We have many more than they have. But the idea of doing things for ruchnis now is something that fits goyim as well. They're people, they have neshamas of some sort, and it's the same thing. Olam Haba is a very different type of mitzvahs. And the benefit that Torah does for a person is Olam Habadik. So I ask somebody, you could be sitting and doing all sorts of mitzvahs. Why are you sitting and learning about the mitzvahs? I ask him, you're sitting and learning about Shiloh HaKan. Why don't you run around and find nests and you know, okay, you have to know the halachas. So prerequisite is no halachas. No, but now that you know the halachas, go and do it. And spend your time doing Shiloh HaKan. The answer is, Shiloh HaKan physically takes care of an issue now. So if I actually want to go and get the eggs, whatever it is, I do Shiloh HaKan. Learning about Shiloh HaKan, it plants a tree that's in the person's nefesh, and it produces, however we'll understand the positive benefits of Shiloh HaKan, it keeps giving and giving and giving. So Klal Yisrael and Umas HaOlam, Klal Yisrael was given a special gift of Torah. Torah means that we can take ruchnius and plant it at a very deep level in our nefesh. And it stays there. And it gives peiris. Now, you know, the first time a kid, when we were kids, they wanted to impress on us the importance of saving money. I don't want to date myself, but it's a long time ago. We used to get these little envelopes once a week in school, and we used to put in a quarter, and Bowery Savings Bank was our bank of choice. It wasn't our bank of choice. It was the bank that we had to put a quarter in for. We supported it, and it came back. And every week they would bring back with a little, an entry in it that we added a quarter and so on and so forth. And, you know, the teacher would give a big musashmuz about how important it is to save money, v'chulu, v'chulu. I remember when we kept looking for the interest, and it was something like 0.01, 0.01 cents, or something like that, and we couldn't figure out, like, when we'll ever become rich from that money. It took a while to dawn that you know, it must be something, what's the hitch? It's hard, because in Talmud Torah, a person who's lucky, and when a person is learning Torah betakfai, and is learning Torah at the years we're in yeshiva, or somebody who is an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, and he gets so involved in it, where it's a ruchnistic world, Ashrei HaVatayvla, he doesn't need the shmuz, and he doesn't need this. But for most of us, where A, we don't have the luxury of being involved in it full time, where it may not have been a particularly strong experience for us at some point, may or may not have been. Certainly now, when you have a lot of things competing for our mind and hearts, a person davens a Shemoneh Esrei when something's pressing, he feels elevated. You know, he has something on his heart and his mind in need, and you daven, you feel something. A person sings a strong niggun, he feels something very, very, very strong. Talmud Torah, if a person is learning, especially when we learn about things, if a person is learning Gemara and sugyas that may never even be relevant, and a person asks himself, okay, I mean, this cheshbon shemayim, but what do I get out of it? What am I taking out of it? And the answer is, it is building something inside you, your perspective, your sense of things. A person learned in yeshiva for a few years thinks differently, looks at things differently in Yiddishkeit and even not in Yiddishkeit. And it's very hard to put a finger, yeah, they taught us this and this, and they told us this and this. That's not the way we act. We don't. If somebody tells me once that this is what's right, it's not going to stay with me. It's because it became mushrash. It became something that became part and parcel of a person's nefesh, that it produces that effect. So Talmud Torah, so our life is divided between two worlds, the world of mitzvahs and the world of Talmud Torah. The world of mitzvahs is something that is the necessity for the here and the now. The world of Talmud Torah is something that gives us the peiros l'asid lavai. I want to pause a minute and discuss. In the book, I'd written a little bit about Talmud Torah, and I pointed out three fields that I felt are most important to learn, you know, no matter what. So I spoke about halacha, and that's obvious. So minimal amount of halacha so that we know what we're doing. I spoke about learning something inspirational, musa, chassidus, something that inspires you. Those are two areas that are obviously vital. And then another area which, for the lack of a better term, I used Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishnah, Gemara, Iyun, anything of that nature. And I think the first two, I think everybody understands. Everyone understands need for it. It's Pashat. That part of it, the part about Iyun, Torah Shebaal Peh, and so on, is something that everyone feels it's right, but it's hard to put a finger on it. So I'd like to describe a little bit better what it is. We meet a lot of people. There are some people that we feel animosity or turned off by. There are some people that we like a lot. And there are some people we feel fine, respectful, nice, but nothing, no, I don't identify with the person. What is it? So the animosity part is that, whatever. The person reminds me of somebody bad, he does something wrong, fine, that I understand. But what's a deciding factor between people that we click with and feel that we want to keep a kesher with and build a relationship And the people that we think very well of them and we respect them, but we don't feel any kesha. If you think about it, it has to do with the mindset. For instance, an autistic person is introduced to Professor Einstein. Very, very mechabed, very in awe. Not my cup of tea. A person who is a Professor Einstein is introduced to a great athlete. It's very nice, wonderful. There's no kirvas hadas. The Gemara has an expression, among Subis, about kirvas das. It means something slightly different, but the expression is the right expression. The people that I want to have a shaychus with need to be people that the way I see and perceive things, my sense of things, it resonates with them and vice versa. And even shidduchim, a person, most everybody will think back at a moment that he felt was a sort of a definitive moment in relationship. It's described why I really felt that that person understands me. We think alike, and so on. What does that mean? It means that the closest, the most panemistic kesh you have is with your sense of things. It's not intellect. It's not quite the word. It's how I grasp things. Right, wrong, bad, good, off. Those when a person has a similar, then there's a kirvas hadas. With the Ribbono Shel Olam, the ahava that's possible to Ribbono Shel Olam is not possible. And with a person, I can, you know, I can physically, I can give a handshake. There's nothing physical. Emotional, we don't ascribe to Ribbono Shel Olam emotions. And we may feel very grateful to Ribbono Shel Olam. We may be drawn, but that's not bilateral. There's no description. That, you know, all the terms used by Ribbono Shel Olam as Ahava and Simcha and all these things are metaphors. He acts to us like a person who loves somebody. The one thing that we do have is Chachma. Kach Gazra Chachmaso Yisparach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something that he calls his Chachma, which means that when the two mesh, when the way in which I perceive and the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us as being his perception, if what he sees as Toiv is what I see as Toiv, and if what he sees as Ra, I despise, then I am close to Ribbono Shel Olam, by definition. And the Rambam says this kemat. It's something where that's the only area where a person can really be close to Ribbono Shel Olam. The only place you can have it is not by the factual and information knowledge of Torah. It's when my mind thinks along the lines that Torah is given. And that's not there, not in Torah Shebiksav exactly. It's there in a rough way, in a klolistic way. It's not there in Piske Halachis. It's there in the within the bubble of Gemara. You Chazal put the thought process, the understanding, into it. And it's not a contradiction to the fact that everybody understands differently. The Ribbono Shel Olam megala himself in different ways. Every neshama has a different chelik. But the understanding of it is where we have that closest with Ribbono Shel Olam. So imagine, and I guess a helpful way of looking at the Talmud Torah, because in many ways it's an assignment for us. Just like every person who works and uses the money to cover his bills and also really, really pushes himself to put some money aside. Every person who's only able to delays, you know, from a pension fund to a savings to investment, you know, as he can. Because a person realizes that the here and the now keeps you on a treadmill. It doesn't allow it to grow. It's when the person learns to invest, he's able to produce something much further. We understand it in the Gashmistika world. People don't mind working very hard as long as what they produce has that quality of being perpetual. In Ruchnius, we have the same same different aspects of Ruchnius. Davening, Talis and Tefillin, Tzedakah, the 101 mitzvahs that a person does day in, day out, the brachas, those are all things that satisfy a specific spiritual need, and it's as per need. But it doesn't leave a real mark for later. Of course, it affects a person to some degree, but it doesn't plant anything in a person that is going to make him bigger in 50 years from now. The time and the mind that a person sets aside for learning and understanding, even if he has to struggle for it, maybe because he has to struggle for it, puts a certain nekuda in a person's personality that lasts. On Shavuos, the change was not the mitzvahs. It's not that we were given more mitzvahs than before, because as it was, there was a down payment. There were mitzvahs given before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have continued the process. Torah was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and gave us back the Eitz HaChayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back the world of Ruchnius that is planted and eternal. That's what happened on Shavuos. A person can now sit and learn and put into himself a Ruchnius world that will give Peiros long after he's left the Gemara. Long after he's closed it. That's what the Gemara says is about protecting a person. A Talmud Chacham, when he's not learning, is also a Talmud Chacham. Whereas the respect for someone who does a mitzvah is the Beshaiter. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Peiros Se'ilon, that the Rosh Hashanah Peiros Se'ilon is a Rosh Hashanah on the type of Gashmis we're going to be Isaac in. It's Eina Mikra, it's Nepshutoi. Are we going to be eating from hand to mouth, or will we be able to establish things and that will give us sustenance past that's the Bria of Peiros. But even more significant for us, will our Ruchnistik situation be hand to mouth, or will we build ourselves? Will we be able to establish something in ourselves that will keep giving way past we do it? V'chaya oylam nata b'secheinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability for eternity. That's what he gave Shavuos. The ability to take something, incorporate it into us, and this becomes Olam Haba because it's of the nature of Olam Haba. A ruchnistik, a tree which keeps giving, and as the person gives more and more to it, it increases many, many more times than the person puts the work in. Bez Hashem, we should be zeichet this Shavuos, and be zeichet in every time we sit and learn, we should be zeichet to be able to plant another nekuda and to be mashrish it in a way that we're mekayim the b'chaya olam not the b'secheinu. That's all.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Lipiansky. Inspiring words for Shavuos. We're going to start Mincha in 2 minutes. 5 minutes for Mincha.